Hi, this is John Casco. I'm professor of orthodontics at the University of Iowa, and I'd like to welcome you to this month's edition of Practical Reviews in Orthodontics. As usual, joining me for our reviews are Vincent Kokich and Brent Larson. Vince is professor of orthodontics at the University of Washington in Seattle, and Brent is the head of orthodontics at the University of Minnesota. As is our custom, we will be starting this month's program with a guest lecture. Our guest this month is Dr. Vince Kokich, who will be presenting part two of his guest lecture titled Managing Orthodontic Treatment for the Adult Patient with Periodontal Problems.
A third situation where orthodontics can be of significant benefit is in the patient who requires forced eruption or controlled extraction. Occasionally, children and adolescents will fall and accidentally injure their anterior teeth. If the injuries are minor and result in small fractures of enamel, these can be restored with light-cured composites or porcelain veneers. But in some situations, the fracture may extend beneath the level of the gingival margin and terminate at the level of the alveolar ridge. In these situations, restoration of the fractured crown is impossible because the tooth preparation would extend to the level of the bone. This overextension could result in an invasion of the biologic width of the tooth and cause persistent inflammation of the marginal gingiva. In these situations, it may be beneficial to erupt the fractured root out of the bone and move the fracture margin coronally so that it can be restored without creating gingival inflammation. The orthodontist, restorative dentist, and periodontist should evaluate six criteria to determine if the root should be forcibly erupted or extracted. These include root length, root form, location of the fracture, lip level of the patient during smiling, relative importance of the tooth, and the endoperio prognosis. If these six are favorable, then forced eruption and restoration may be appropriate. But in some situations, if the fracture is too severe, it may be better to extract the tooth and replace it with an implant or bridge. If the decision is made to extract the tooth or teeth and replace them with implants, it's often beneficial to extract the roots orthodontically by gradually erupting them out of the bone to create a better implant site. The eruption should be performed at about the rate of 0.5 millimeter per month to permit the gingiva and bone to follow the tooth and undergo adequate remodeling during the eruption process. There are three indications for performing controlled extraction: gingival level discrepancy, bone level defect or discrepancy, and upright inclination of the tooth root. This last criterion will ensure that the alveolar bone will follow the erupting tooth. If the tooth were inclined or proclined labially, the bone typically does not follow the root as it's erupted. The crown of the tooth to be erupted should be perpendicular to the occlusal plane. If so, the bone and tissue will follow the tooth and enhance the bone and tissue levels in the implant site. A fourth situation where the orthodontist can aid the restorative dentist is in the patient with significant anterior tooth abrasion and compensatory eruption of the abraded tooth. Occasionally, patients will have destructive dental habits, such as protrusive bruxing habits, that can result in significant wear of the maxillary and mandibular incisors. Tooth wear typically results in compensatory over-eruption of these teeth. When the restorative dentist contemplates restoration of these abraded teeth, it's often impossible because of the lack of crown length to achieve adequate retention and resistance form for the crown preparations. Two options are typically available. One would be extensive crown lengthening by elevating a flap, removing sufficient bone, and apically positioning of the flap to expose adequate tooth length for crown preparation. But this type of procedure is contraindicated in the patient with short, tapered roots because it could adversely affect the final root-to-crown ratio, and it could potentially open up black triangles or open embrasures between the anterior teeth. The other option for improving the restorability of these shorter braided teeth is to orthodontically intrude the teeth and move the gingival margins apically. It's possible for the orthodontist to intrude up to 4 maxillary incisors by using the posterior teeth as anchorage during the intrusion process. This process is accomplished by placing the orthodontic brackets as close to the incisal edges of the abraded maxillary incisors as possible. The brackets are placed in their normal position on the canines and remaining posterior teeth. The patient's posterior occlusion will resist eruption of the posterior teeth, and the incisors will gradually intrude and move the gingival margins and crowns apically. This creates the restorative space necessary to temporarily restore the incisal edges of these teeth and then eventually to place the final porcelain veneers or crowns on these teeth. When abraded teeth are intruded significantly, it's necessary to hold these teeth in position for at least 6 months with the orthodontic brackets and or arch wires or some sort of bonded retainer. The principal fibers of the periodontium must accommodate to the new intruded position, and this process could take a minimum of 6 months in most adult patients. Orthodontic intrusion of severely abraded and over-erupted teeth is usually a distinct advantage over periodontal crown lengthening unless the patient has extremely long and broad roots or has had extensive horizontal periodontal bone loss. The fifth and last advantage that I'd like to talk about for orthodontics in the perio-restorative patient is to aid in the elimination of open gingival embrasures or black triangles between the maxillary and mandibular anterior teeth that develop during orthodontic treatment. The presence of a papilla between the maxillary central incisors is a key aesthetic factor for any smile. Occasionally, adults may have open gingival embrasures or black triangles between their central incisors. These unsightly areas are often difficult to resolve with periodontal therapy, but orthodontic treatment can correct many of these open gingival embrasures, even in the difficult adult periodontal patient. This space is usually due to one of three causes: root angulation, tooth shape, or periodontal bone loss. The interproximal contact between the maxillary central incisors usually consists of two parts. One portion is the tooth contact and the other portion is the papilla. The ratio of papilla to contact has been shown in previous studies to be about 1:1. In other words, half the space is typically occupied by the papilla and the other half is formed by the tooth contact. If the patient has an open embrasure, the first aspect that the clinician should evaluate is whether the problem is due to the papilla or the tooth contact. If the papilla is the problem, then the likely cause is lack of bone support due to an underlying periodontal problem. In some situations, a deficient papilla can be accentuated with orthodontic treatment. By closing open contacts, the orthodontist can squeeze the interproximal gingiva and move it incisally. This type of movement can help to create a more aesthetic papilla between two teeth in spite of alveolar bone loss. Another possibility is to erupt adjacent teeth when the interproximal bone level is positioned apically. Most open embrasures between central incisors are due to problems with the tooth contact. The first step in the proper diagnosis of this problem is to evaluate a periapical radiograph of the central incisors. If the root angulation is divergent, then the brackets should be repositioned so the root position can be corrected in these situations. Now, the incisal edges may be uneven, and that will require restoration with either composite or porcelain restorations. If the periapical radiograph shows that the roots are in their correct relationship, then the open gingival embrasure is due to triangular root or tooth shape. If the shape of the tooth is the problem, two solutions are possible. One possibility is to restore the open gingival embrasure. The other option is to reshape the tooth by flattening the interproximal contact and closing the space. This will result in lengthening of the contact until it meets the papilla. In addition, if the embrasure space is large, closing the space will squeeze the papilla between the central incisors. This will help to create a one-to-one relationship between the contact and the papilla and restore uniformity to the heights between the midline and the adjacent papillae. But there is a limit as to how much interproximal reduction should be performed. The limiting factor is typically the eventual size and shape of the resulting central incisor crown. Typically, the width-to-length proportion of a maxillary central incisor should be somewhere between 75 and 80%. If the interproximal reduction of the central incisor results in excessive narrowing of the tooth, it could look too long and too narrow. In these situations, it's better to have the restorative dentist restore the open gingival embrasure, which helps to maintain an aesthetically pleasing width-to-length proportion of the central incisor, but closing the gingival embrasure. In summary, this discussion has hopefully illustrated some of the benefits of integrating orthodontics and periodontics in the management of adult patients with underlying periodontal defects. The key to treating these types of patients is communication and proper diagnosis before orthodontic therapy, as well as continued dialogue with the restorative dentist and periodontist during orthodontic treatment. Not all periodontal problems are treated in the same way. Hopefully, this discussion of hemiseptal defects, uneven gingival levels, open gingival embrasures, and periodontally hopeless teeth provides you with a framework that will be helpful in treating these situations in the future.